This is Taylor Talk, the number one Taylor Swift podcast, brought to you by TaylorTalk.org. Welcome, everybody, to episode 72 of Taylor Talk. This is Adam,
Maya,
Steve,
and Augustine.
Yay, we have Augustine here with us.
Yay.
Hi, Augustine.
Hi, how you doing, guys?
Good. So, our main discussion today was inspired by a blog written by Augustine. That's part of the reason he's here with us. The other part is just because we like having him here with us. So,
oh, thank you.
But before we get to all of that, now, Maya, you were in Philadelphia for the Taylor Swift concert, weren't you?
Yes, I was.
So why don't you give us a little update on the tour here?
All right. Well, Taylor had two shows this weekend in Philadelphia. On the first night, July 19th, she played Safe and Sound on the B stage, which was really fun to see. I ran right up close and I got to see her do it from like a few feet away, which was awesome. But for the second show, there were some issues because there were severe weather conditions. So we ended up having a rain delay for like 2 hours. We all sat on the concourse and had a sing-along. It was fun. And then she ended up singing You Belong With Me on the B stage instead of doing the regular big production number. And she cut Stay, Stay, Stay and Begin Again because of technical issues with the rain. And then the Red Tour is going to finish up July in Foxborough, Massachusetts next weekend, July 26th and 27th.
Awesome. So I'm curious, Maya, because I saw a tweet from Taylor saying something about how they were backstage waiting to go on, hang tight, Philly, wait till the rain passes, something like that. So while they were comfy and cozy backstage, was everyone just standing out in the rain? Like, what was up with that?
No, well, Ed had finished, and he'd gone off stage, and I think it was probably like 5 minutes before she was supposed to normally go on. And all of a sudden, this voice comes over the loudspeaker saying, like, there were severe weather conditions in the area and all the guests had to clear the floor and the bowl seating and go onto the concourse. So we all had to get out of the stadium, not out of the stadium, but like onto like the inside. So we were just sitting on the floor inside.
What, just in like the hallways?
Yeah. We were sitting in the hallway for about 2 hours.
Like, was lightning and that coming in at that point in time or not?
There was lightning and thunder. We were going up the stairs. Like, for a while it wasn't raining. And then all of a sudden it just started pouring. Like, absolute downpour. We got drenched. And then, yeah, there was thunder. There was lightning. It was pretty crazy. We got soaking wet.
I admire them for not canceling the show entirely.
Yeah, there's some super cool pictures, actually, if you look around, of, like, lightning strikes around the stadium and stuff.
I saw some of those.
Yeah, but I think by the time Taylor actually went on, it was close to like 10:45. And apparently, which is very lucky, because apparently if the rain had kept up until 11, then they would have canceled the show. So we made it by a hair.
That's awesome. That's super cool.
Yeah. It was fun. She was very excited. She was like, "You guys stayed." I'm like, "Of course we did."
Nah, you know, I thought I would just leave.
And she's like, "I was backstage in my dressing room going, 'Stop it, rain, stop it, rain, stop it.'"
She said that?
Yeah, on stage. "Stop it, rain, stop it. I have to go play for my hometown. Stop it."
I had a silly thought, Maya, actually. I thought for a second, oh my god, it's lightning, and Maya is wearing a refrigerator. Oh, wait, it's not a real refrigerator.
Yeah, someone told me, they're like, "Don't get electrocuted." I'm like, "It's batteries, I'm going to be fine."
Nice.
But thank you.
Cool, thanks for the story, Maya.
Just in case anyone is really confused, I wore a refrigerator costume to the concert that was lit up. Just in case that comment that he just made no sense to you.
Thanks for clearing that up. Augustine confused me, but then again, he confuses me all the time. Aww. So
sorry.
It's okay. But Augustine, can you tell us what's been going on in the news lately?
Sure. So you guys probably remember what happened with Abercrombie and Fitch when they put a t-shirt out.
And we all got angry.
Oh yeah. And even then, that was not all the comments sent their way were okay, you know? And now it's happening again. So Bad Kids Clothing has this dish tank top that has the list of the rumored exes of Taylor Swift. It doesn't say her name. It doesn't say anything wrong about her in particular. It just has a list of last names in there. Now, the thing is, there's a big backlash from a lot of fans. But some of that backlash, I mean, one thing is to be critical. Another thing is to be insulting. Another thing is to issue death threats, you know? So we're, I thank Adam for the opportunity to say this. But I think we should kind of pick our battles here. And this is not me lecturing you. You have your own opinion. You can think what you want. Just don't put a death threat, you know, on the internet where you know it's not going to go away. And I use an expression in the blog when I talked about this. I said, you know, ironic statements on t-shirts fade away with the wash. But things on internet stay forever. So I just say use your best judgment. And these guys have even gone as far as saying, well, since Cory Monteith has passed away, and rest in peace, his name has been taken out of the shirt. So they're not completely ruthless, and I'd say, well, let's cut them some slack, and there are bigger issues that we should get behind rather than just a t-shirt, you know?
I agree with you wholeheartedly, Augustine. I think issuing death threats is a little bit extreme. You know, it's, I read an interview with the owners of this company. They're just a couple of kids in their mid-20s. Like, these aren't big business people. This isn't like the evil Abercrombie CEO. They made a shirt as a joke, and the reason it's in production in the first place is because of all the backlash they got on it. They're basically like, haha, we're sticking it to you for issuing death threats to us.
So pretty much if we would have not responded at all, they probably wouldn't have even produced it or anything like that.
No, the shirt wouldn't even exist. There would be one of it because they made it for a friend of theirs as a joke. A friend who happens to be a Taylor Swift fan.
Yeah, I think some of the fans just basically kind of like jumped the shark kind of thing, you know? And they went too far, you know? And sometimes you go too far on a whim, but issuing death threats, you know, I don't think it's a cool thing to do. So just use your best judgment, guys.
Yeah, for sure. I don't want to go on too long about this, so let's keep it going with the news.
Okay, sure. So we have also, it's never too soon for talking about the next album. So it turns out that, yeah, let's talk about something positive. And it turns out that she told her Rolling Stone, I never want to make the same record twice. I don't think she has, really. What's the point? And she also said, it's overwhelming that when you're starting a project, there is such an endless possibilities if you're willing to evolve and experiment. If you're willing to become a different version of yourself, you can really go anywhere with it. And that's that's kind of where I am. The kind of the laboratory experimental stage of really catching onto a new thing that I'm liking. Cool thing, of course, is that they ask her, you know, and what's a new thing? And she goes, I can't tell you. So you'll see a link to the full Rolling Stone article in the episode guide. It's very interesting. I found that entertaining as well. She's going into a new direction that she likes, but it's kind of the typical Taylor, I'm teasing you with a little thing. I'm not just not telling you what it is. Of course, you'll have to see.
I can't wait.
Yeah,
lots of possibilities with that.
At some point, we'll have to do some sort of speculation once we get a little more info, huh?
Yeah.
All right, Steve, can you tell us what's up on the calendar, please?
Okay, well, we got some award show news. First off, don't forget to keep voting for Taylor for 2013 Teen Choice Awards. You can do that at teenchoiceawards.com. The Teen Choice Awards will air on Fox on Sunday, August 11th. Taylor also has recently been nominated for the 2013 MTV VMA for Video of the Year and Best Female Video for I Knew You Were Trouble. She's been tweeting a lot about it lately. For one of her tweets, she says, if you vote and get us one, I promise I'll get a firmer grip on the microphone this time, which I think is in reference to in Pittsburgh when she hit herself in the tooth and broke a tooth there.
I don't know if that's what it's in reference to, Steve.
What do you think it is in reference to? Could I be wrong on that?
I thought it was the when she got her microphone stolen from her.
That's what I thought too. Uh-huh.
But you've actually made a point for a different event. Oh my god. Okay.
Well, I could be right, could be wrong. There's also another one that she had Austin Mahone herself and Ed Sheeran, and they did VMA. Which is a
it doesn't
reference.
Even look like an A. I don't know what Ed is doing with his hands,
okay,
but it does not look like an A.
Yeah, but here's the thing. This is what you guys missed. That's actually an old school thing. That's actually in reference to Henry Winkler's character, the Fonz, on Happy Days. He always came in, did his thumbs like that, and was like, A. That's what that's
you
from.
Mean,
A. A. Yeah, that's what
you know
from.
What? If it wasn't Ed Sheeran saying it, I would say you're wrong, but since it's Ed Sheeran, I'm going to agree with you. It might be that.
Here's the thing, though, it's kind of the wrong demographic to be using a Fonzie
reference. Well, I think that's why Taylor tweeted to clarify it, because people were confused.
Interesting.
That's possible. But, you know, make sure you all go vote for that. And, you know, there's a reason we just discussed that. It leads into our main discussion, which is award show fan voting, because both of those are fan voted, and there has been controversy recently within the fan voting arena. You guys remember when we chatted about it for the ACMs, where what did we end up determining with that? Does anyone remember that it was like half fan voted and then half?
It was actually
voted
like
by them?
The committee that you know, the members of the ACMs had a vote in that. But one of the things that was never clear on that is what the percentages were. You know, like for instance, the fan voting was that 10% compared to, you know, 50% or 90% for the ACM members. That's what we never were able to determine the exact numbers, but there was a split. It wasn't 100% fan voted.
Right. Okay. So now, as I said earlier, though, this was inspired by one of Augustine's blog posts on the SwiftAgency.com, where he broke it down for us. He actually revealed, basically, that our vote may not weigh as heavily as we thought it did. It is not the end-all, say-all, is that what they call it? Like, our vote doesn't just win Taylor's award for her, but there's other things that go into it. So I was thinking we start with the Teen Choice Awards, since she has 7 nominations for that, and those are all fan-voted. So pulling it from their terms and conditions, I'll just quote it really quick, and then we can open it up for discussion. Mm-hmm. They said, winners for the Teen Choice Awards are determined using the votes cast on the site. Votes are tabulated electronically, and winners are determined based on the nominees in each category with the highest number of eligible votes. Tinasaurus Rocks, the sponsor, reserves the right to choose the winner from the top 4 vote generators. Now, there's only 5 nominees in each category, right?
Yep.
So it's just like the one loser isn't a part of it, but the other 4 have a chance.
They can pick who they want, huh?
Yeah.
Right. So basically what it's saying is that our vote essentially eliminates one person, absolutely. And then with the actual winner, the sponsor has the right to overrule our vote and choose any of those 4 remaining nominees.
Wow.
Correct. Fair, unfair? What do you guys think?
I think it's a bit of a security disclaimer, but it can be used any way you want it. It's a double-edged sword. It's there in case for any particular reason they decide to pull one candidate out. But here's the thing: I can't think of a reason why that would matter, except that if they decide, well, our ratings will be better if we give this award to one person and this other award, although the same person won, will change it to this other person so that we kind of like make each fan base happy. That's just off the top of my head. What do you guys think?
I think you could be right. It could be because you know what? There are 2 artists I can think of that have arguably, I don't want to offend anyone, so arguably the biggest and most active fan bases, and that is Taylor Swift and Justin Bieber. Obviously, Selena, Demi, all of them have huge active fan bases as well, but I think Taylor and Bieber might be kind of in a league of their own in that respect, and they would probably, between the two of them, win every single award if it were purely fan-voted. I mean, does anyone disagree with that?
No, I couldn't disagree.
I agree with you on that, Adam.
So you could be right, Augustine, in the sense that they're trying to appease all fan bases, but it's a little deceptive. Like, I think they should probably be a little more clear, because particularly with this is the Teen Choice Awards. To be eligible to vote, you have to be between age 13 and 19. How many 13 to 19 year olds are sitting here reading the voting terms and conditions the way you did, Augustine?
Probably none of them. I mean, the 13 year olds, like, how many 13 year olds are like, oh, I'm voting for my favorite person for an award show. Why don't I read all
the legal documentation?
Yeah.
Well, Adam, if you remember correctly, we really didn't even look at any of that information ourselves for the ACM awards until Luke Bryan ended up winning. And then we're like, what did we do wrong? How did we not, you know, win this for Taylor?
Right. And that's the point I'm getting at, is maybe they're not clear enough, because they do make it appear that these awards are fan voted entirely.
Well, they don't say entirely, though. That's the way they can get around. As long as they let fans vote, they can say that it's fan voted. They don't say it's 100% fan voted and that kind of stuff.
You're right. And that's why it's deceptive, though. They lead you to believe it. You know very well in their minds, they know what they're doing.
Correct, but you know what? They're not the only persons that do this. And I'm really interested what happens on the next ACM Awards. I'm really wanting to look into the voting rules, because I think most of anything that is fan voted has a little bit of a disclaimer that always says, in case something that we haven't thought of happens, we have the right to kind of choose our winner. Most of fan voting awards have some sort of disclaimer in case there's, you know what, and you'll see that in the MTV one, there's even cases of terrorism involved.
So let's look at the MTV one before we get into the actual ethics, right? So the MTV VMA voting rule says, sponsor reserves the right to select the winners at its discretion and may take into consideration the number of votes received by nominee up until the time of interruption or cancellation of the voting process. Sponsor reserves the right at its sole discretion to cancel, terminate, amend, modify, extend, or suspend the voting process, and reserves the right in its sole discretion to determine the winners.
In its sole discretion. That those three words actually kind of hit me, because basically what it means is, I can do this and not tell you that I've done it.
Right. You know, it made sense up until a point. It's talking about interruptions, cancellations, things like that. If a virus gets into their computer system, into their voting system, okay, that's not their fault, right? If some crazy computer hacker programs some bot that automatically votes for their favorite person a million times per second, that's not their fault. Right? But it's just kind of scary. It's like, do you think there should be some sort of announcement, some sort of thing that makes us aware that they are doing that, if that's the case?
To me, it wouldn't look popular if they did. They will lose popularity stating just that, oh, by the way, we had to use one of our rules to determine the winner because it was not convenient for us to choose the other guy. No, there's nothing to gain for that. It's basically a disclaimer to do what they need to do without being liable.
Do you know what's interesting, and it's sort of off topic of the award shows, is you guys saw recently that radio station that was running a contest to win a meet and greet with Taylor, and some like 39-year-old man that likes to sniff women's hair was the winner?
I've blogged about that actually as well in the last.
Oh, time. Did you?
Yeah, a Kiss 108 FM, and the funny thing is that Reddit and 4chan, I don't know if you want to mention 4chan here, they both agreed, oh no, let's make this guy the winner for the lulz and whatever. And basically a couple of guys, and or I don't know how many, 4chan actually took it too far at some point. And not that it wasn't too far before, but basically they implemented a script running on 500 computers around the world, and they inflated artificially. And that was enough for Kiss 108 FM. If you go to their website, they have a web page saying, the contest is canceled.
Right, and that's sort of what I was getting to, is they canceled it. A big award show doesn't have the ability to do that, which is why I kind of think, like, that's why they have this disclaimer, because if something gets in their system like that, that's out of their control, what are they supposed to do?
Come up with a better system?
Well, yeah, but not in the middle, I guess. I can see why they're doing it, but also the fact that they kind of, like, hide it in the little words, you know, on the about text, and they put, like, if you look at the disclaimer on NTV, it's like, you can go for several pages until you find the text, you know?
So, in that case, is it ethical? Their methods of doing it, rather. I see why they have to have the system in place, but is it ethical to keep it sort of hidden and not make it very clear?
Yeah, but that's on anything. You see the fine text on the bottom of almost anything, or, you know, what you're watching some sort of advertisement on TV, and then right at the very end, they kind of put something down, a little disclaimer down at the thing that says these people were actors, the results are not typical, that kind of stuff. I mean, it's about where it normally is, no matter what medium that they've used before.
But the thing is, though, Steve, is it's not consistent. Something within, like, the marketing world is consideration towards your demographic.
Oh, nice.
And who you're marketing to. And like I said, specifically in the Teen Choice Awards case, and not so much in MTV's case, but MTV does have a younger audience as well. It's not a bunch of lawyers watching this that know what all this small print mumbo jumbo means. So I think it might be slightly different depending on who you're marketing to and who you're selling your product to. And in this case, it's unaware Taylor Swift fans who are sitting at their computer for hours on end just voting for her over and over and over, thinking they're doing their part to help her win.
Actually, I want to hear Maya. I want to hear Maya's point of view on this one.
It seems unfair, but at the same time, if I was running a television show or an award show or whatever, like, I would make sure that that disclaimer was in there too. Because, like, there's a certain point where, like, you have to be able to control what happens. Within the big picture, these award shows are kind of, it's a big show, and they want the show that's going to get them the most views and the most, you know, like, that gets talked about the most the next day. And if that means giving an award to a surprise person, or, you know, giving an award to just, like, the person who happens to be on the rise at that moment, then, like, as someone whose only goal is to be running a successful TV event, I understand why they do it.
Maya, I think you hit it right on the nail, because that's what it is. It's basically a popularity contest in every way, but it's also for the sponsor side. We want to sell stuff. We want to put ads. We want to put MTV and Teen Choice Awards are all coming from networks, you know, MTV Networks, Fox Networks. They want to promote their shows. You'll see in the Teen Choice Awards, you'll see a lot of artists from upcoming Fox comedies showing up suddenly, right? And the same thing with MTV. So I think you've hit it in the head. Basically, this is a show in which we need to do something popular. So what is not popular doesn't get put in the front page. We will put it somewhere if you didn't see it.
Well, I mean, you could go to the point of, you know, probably you mentioned about how the fan base is like Justin Bieber and Taylor probably have one of the bigger fan bases. So, I mean, if Justin Bieber would win like almost half of the awards, you know, that are out there, it's not going to be a very interesting show. You know, and there would be a lot of people that would go and complain about that and be like, oh, Justin Bieber won so many awards. That's all he ever did, was kept going up there. And really, you know, if he's not seen as popular in the public eye, but yet to his fans, he's still huge, that's not going to make a good show as to, you know, oh, well, Justin Bieber won this award, but Selena Gomez won this one, and Demi Lovato won this one. You know, kind of split it up a little bit more. I think that makes for a better show.
Yeah, you guys make completely valid points about it being a TV show, which, you know, it's something, a question that's never really asked is, why do they have award shows in the first place? And I think you guys all hit on it. It's for ratings. at the end of the day, it's not to recognize a celebrity, because celebrities are already recognized on their own. They're famous. They're celebrities. You know, that's not the point of the show. The point of the show is to make money for the network.
Absolutely. And actually, a lot of those award shows, like, for instance, any of the music ones, those artists aren't paid to perform. They're playing for absolutely for free.
Right.
And you'll see that depending which network is running the awards, there is always people coming from the TV shows, right? ABC, when at the CMA, you get all the ABC. When it's a CMT, then it's CMT actually is part of MTV network, so you will see a lot of people from MTV. And Fox now with ACA, because Fox didn't have a country awards, now you can see a lot of Fox shows say, hey, we are the cast of the upcoming show, whatever, we're here on the red carpet. You know, you'll see that.
Then the big question that is left to be asked, if my vote for Taylor, that I'm sitting at my computer voting Taylor Swift, Taylor Swift, Taylor Swift, over and over and over again, might just be overruled, why am I voting for her in the first place? Why am I wasting my time?
That's an excellent question.
Well, I think it still puts her in consideration. In other words, we don't want to give, you want to call them the executives, the people in charge, the excuse of excluding Taylor. Well, we're going to exclude Taylor. How can we exclude Taylor? She was the winner. Okay, at least let's give her this award, but this other one, let's give it to somebody else. You know, kind of put her in the map. So I think it still helps to put her under consideration of the guys. Whether or not that is going to happen, we don't have to say, unfortunately.
Well, I think beyond consideration, it's publicity for her. Because how many of us are going onto our Twitter account saying, did you vote for Taylor today? Did you vote for Taylor today?
Right. Correct. I feel like with the fan voting, it's like, the more, you know, when we have award shows like this, it's like the more people get involved and vote and promote her, it's sort of just everything that we do like that is increasing her, you know, her, I guess, her popularity and like how present she is sort of in social media and everything. And I think maybe, you know, if like the more visible she is in that way, the more inclined the people running these shows will be to give the awards to her.
Absolutely.
Maya wins again. Yes. Mm-hmm. It keeps her relevant, right? If she doesn't appear on the top list, it's like, oh my god, she's still relevant. Oh my god, we have to put her here, you know?
And the social media aspect is very important in that, making sure to, you know, when we do tweet, to use the hashtags, to use the Twitter handles involved with the vote in, everything else like that.
Precisely, which is why I didn't want this discussion to discourage anyone from voting for Taylor. Like, keep voting for Taylor, because it's still helping her. It's really, this discussion was more to help you become an educated voter, really, right?
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah. So, keep voting for Taylor. Are you guys still voting for Taylor?
Of course.
Yes.
Of course.
Well, actually, I'm not eligible for either, but I would vote for her anytime that I would have the chance, you know?
Augustine, you're a smart guy. Just program some crazy bot to do what the guys did that got the with the radio station contest.
Yeah, I'm not those guys. So for me, it's fair and square or no way.
You're such an honest guy.
Sometimes those are funny, though, because there was one before for Pitbull was going to go to the Walmart that got the most votes. And it seemed like everybody was voting for this one obscure location in Alaska.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, he went there, though, right?
I think he did. I think he was a good sport about it, and he ended up going there. But, mm-hmm. You know, so sometimes it is funny, but, you know, it's hard to sometimes take it seriously. But at the same time, we do need to do our part to make sure to get Taylor's name continue to be out there, get nominations, get her votes, and hopefully help her win awards.
Well said, Steve. Well said.
Very well said.
So moving on, we've got some mini segments that have been submitted to us. Augustine, if you could help us out with the first one there.
Sure. So we are starting with you know you're a Swiftie when. And this comes from Phantom Dreamer, at Phantom Dreamer from Twitter. You start to sing red every time you see a Maserati. Oh, this is a nice one.
Nice. I don't see too many Maseratis, but when I do, I think
come out to Southern California, Steve.
I must be living in the wrong place for Maseratis, that's all.
You know, Steve, but I like the way you said it. I don't see many Maseratis, but when I do, I sing red. That sounds like an ad for something.
All right, our next one is from Swift Agency 13 on Twitter, who I met on Friday, and she's really nice. And she said, you know you're a Swiftie when you freak out because, and then this one has pictures. First picture is of like a really old guy driving in a car, like hunched over, super old. And then there's a shot of his license plate and it says Taylor Swift on it.
That's awesome.
Nice. Oh my God, that's my car.
Looks like he's like 96.
That's funny you said that, Augustine. I was going to ask Steve if it was his car.
Oh, come on.
Not that old. All right, I got the next one here. This is from the Aaron Leal on Twitter, and he says, you know you're a Swiftie when you're watching Journey to Fearless on Netflix at 2 a.m. while eating popcorn.
I forgot that was on Netflix. I need to watch that.
It is.
Got to add that to my instant queue.
Yes, you do.
There you go.
All right, next one is from at Brian. Oh boy, I'm gonna butcher this last name. Dubanowick.
Hopefully close enough.
He says, "You know you're a Swiftie when your favorite color used to be green, but now it's red because of Taylor Swift's Red Tour."
There you go. It's almost like Taylor changing her favorite color. It seems from like white
from white to purple to red.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, and the next one is from, actually, this is from Scarlett via email. You know you're a Swiftie when you freak out because chapter 22 of the book you're reading is called Speak Now or Forever Hold Your Peace. True story, the book is Heaven by Alexandra Adornetto.
Hey, that doubles as a What Are Swifties Reading submission too, doesn't it?
Nice. That it does.
Nice. Double points.
Our next one is from, oh, I got another difficult one. Okay, Sophia Kucharski on Twitter. I hope that was right. And she said, you know you're a Swiftie when you walk into a random store in the mall because they're playing a Taylor song. I would so do that.
I've done that before.
I think I have done that.
I've done that.
I was at the mall today and they were playing 22. I got excited.
Oh, this is a nice place to shop. They're playing Taylor's music.
Right.
You know what? I do the opposite thing. I usually, like, I'm walking out and they start playing a Taylor song and I'm like, I'm going to just browse a little bit.
My favorite is when that happens and then you start singing along and then you walk past someone else in the store and they're singing along too and you, like, have a moment.
Nice.
You're like, hey.
Oh, usually I do that, but then the other person just looks at me weird and I'm like, and I just walk by.
All right, our next one is also from Twitter, from Turn the World Red. You know you're a Swiftie when you cry uncontrollably during Long Live. I don't know if I've done that before.
Hey, co-hosts, yes. I have a confession.
Okay.
Yeah?
Long Live brings me to tears every time.
Really?
No.
I can see that. I can see that.
Is that true?
I wouldn't call it entirely true.
Well,
maybe
a little
but that
bit
means it's not entirely not true.
Okay, so there may have been certain moments at the end when, you know, she's all like, please tell them my name.
I get a note in my throat when she says that. Please tell her my name. It's like, oh my God, there's one time that note everyone is not going to know your name. And I'm like, oh.
That is true.
My throat is like closes up.
Yeah. So to answer the question, it's semi-true. I have been, you know, little
misty-eyed.
You know how it is.
Okay.
Let's move on. The next one, last one, is from at XXTOR on Twitter, who says, you know you're Swiftie when you wait for Taylor to perform after a rain delay. Hashtag Red Philly.
Hey.
Hashtag Maya.
It was fun.
Great. Thanks for sending those all in, guys. Keep them coming. Before we go, I thought it would be fun since we have Augustine here with us and he loves trivia, don't you, Augustine?
Yeah, I do.
We should try and stump him.
Yeah.
Steve's like, yes, it's not me.
It's not me. Hey, actually, I did pretty well on our recent Jeopardy episode. I was not part of that, but I did get my score, and it was actually pretty decent. I was impressed.
Did you score better than our guest contestant?
Well, the only thing is when you score at home, you can answer all the questions, and that was the thing. Really, you know, for a while, Evan didn't even get to get any questions. So, like, I was getting some of those earlier questions, too.
Oh, yeah, that's true. You're right.
So,
yeah.
Like, my score was probably a little bit better than theirs was, but it wasn't because I was smarter. It was just because I could answer all the questions, that's all.
Fair point. We'll have to come up with a solution to that the next time we do Jeopardy. But getting back on topic, Augustine, you ready?
Yep.
All right. Which song off the Speak Now album did Rolling Stone call the best Bon Jovi song Bon Jovi never wrote?
Okay, I'm going to say State of Grace, but actually it's more of a U2 thing. So
that's the wrong album.
Oh, yeah.
Speak Now album.
Oh, he didn't even get the right album.
Yeah, there you go.
His credibility went down the tubes right there.
So for those of you who read the SwiftAgency.com, you probably know more than he does.
Yeah, I know. But and then
that's
I would say it's probably
a super hard question though.
Yeah, it's probably Long Live, but anyway.
You got it. It's Long Live.
He redeemed himself.
He did. He did.
Once,
he, got
once
it.
He picked the right
I
album,
actually,
he picked
I actually,
the right song.
Well, no, it's because now that when you gave me a little bit of time, I remember I have read that article from Rolling Stones.
Yeah, it was a Rolling Stone article in 2012. They did a piece called Women Who Rock and created a list of top 50 female albums of all time. And just for the heck of it, for a bonus question, whoever can answer it first, do you guys know what number Speak Now came in at on that list?
13?
No.
Oh.
50.
Nope. Maya?
31.
No. It was 45, unfortunately. She was kind of low on the list.
I mean, but she's so young, though. Like,
to be on the list at all is
if you
still
have,
impressive.
Like, all of the, like, women musicians of ever, you know, like,
yes.
Just to being on the list is cool, I think.
Adam, just to jump back what we were talking about earlier about this new fifth album that's coming out, you know, especially with doing the song with Patrick Stump there recently in New Jersey, you must have to think, maybe what if she does put out, like, a rock album next time?
I could see it coming, but we'll have to save it for another episode. Think we're running short on time here.
Ooh.
Oh. Steve, it's okay, buddy. We'll save it. Hold your thought. Cool. So, guys, remember, you have a variety of ways to contact us. If you want to submit to the mini segments, tell us you love us, tell us you hate us, whichever, preferably love, not hate. But remember all the different ways to contact us. You can email us, taylortalk@taylorswift13.org. You can tweet us, Facebook us, or Taylor Connect us to taylortalk13. You can leave us a voicemail or text message to area code 240-31-SWIFT. That's if you're in the U.S. or Canada, like our buddy Augustine. And for the rest of the world, you can leave us a voicemail directly on the website, taylortalk.org. Remember to check out the SwiftAgency.com's blog. Augustine, thank you for joining us.
Whoop.
He's like, whoop. But for episode 72, it's time to bid you adieu.
Ooh.
Oh, gosh.
Come
nice.
On, that was good, right?
If that's good, but it did rhyme. I'll give you that much.
Yes, yes.
All right, for episode 72, this has been Adam.
Maya.
Steve.
And Augustine.
Saying have a great day, guys. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
See ya.
This podcast is not directly affiliated with Taylor Swift.